Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I don't know about you. I needed to hear that admonition. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We always want to be in God's plan, doing His will.
Yes.
And when we learn how to follow Him, to be in His will, we can rely on His faithfulness. Amen. To come through. And so it's just good to remind ourselves of these things.
Amen.
Because the enemy is always going to be around us, right? To remind us or try to tell us and convince us otherwise. You know, he's going to try and convince us that God was faithful last time, but not, he won't be this time.
Right. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yep.
And you know, that he's done it in the past. Maybe when we lived in New York, he was faithful. But what about now that we live in, you know, he will always be there to remind us otherwise. But we have such an advantage.
Yes.
We have such an advantage over the enemy. Over others who don't necessarily believe that this is the Word of God, because we've got this, guys.
Yeah. Right.
We've got this precious, holy, written Word that is our instruction manual for life.
Yeah.
And it leads us and guides us. And not only do we have this, but when we got born again, we receive the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us.
Yes.
Glory to God. And he can help us and lead us and guide us and show us what the word means. And so when we step out with him and we're led by his spirit, we have, you know, some people say faith is like stepping out on nothing. I don't really like that, because faith isn't just step. They mean you can't see things in the natural. That's what they mean. But faith is stepping out, hearing from God. Faith is hearing from God and stepping out on His word,
Amen.
His
Amen.
Promises.
Amen.
And that's more sure. That's a surer foundation than anything you could see in the natural.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
So in that respect, faith is not stepping out on nothing. It's just stepping out in things that people can't see. Or we can't physically see. It's stepping out on His word, His prompting, His leading, His scripture. Praise God. So that's all for free. That's not part of the message this morning, but just tagging off of what was said. I needed to hear that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And be reminded of dear sister Shaniqua. I remember that occasion vividly. That particular situation was so bad that my husband didn't even have me come up. Normally, if in those apartments, I'd come clean after he had, you know, taken out. He didn't. He just said, just stay home. It was that bad. He knew I would have melted into a puddle. So he worked on it for quite some time before I ever got there to clean it. And finish it up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are willing to do whatever it takes with God. Amen. We're willing to go wherever he wants us to go, to do whatever he says to do. And we've been ministering this past many weeks, actually, about the fact that God wants our lives to be increasing more and more as we walk with him. Mm-hmm. You understand that our life with God, it affects our inner man, of course. Our spirit grows and gets stronger as we learn more about the Lord. But God doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with our inner man. He permeates, he radiates, he flows into every other part of our lives.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
When I go back home, my family lives in Western New York. When I go back home and walk into a family gathering, which doesn't happen very often, but I remember, 2020, a lot happened back home, and we, of course, couldn't get back there. So when things finally opened up and we could fly home, we got back there, and it was a big family gathering. And we walked in, and I can't tell you how many people came up and commented and said, "You guys look amazing." And I just wanted to say, what do you mean? It's they're like, "What are you doing?" I was like, serving God, walking with the Lord. You could do that too. It'll work for anybody who learns about it and accepts the Lord. Our lives, our outer man, our that which we do from day to day is affected by our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Why don't you turn with me to Judges chapter 6? We better turn to the scripture this morning before I run away. Run away with myself. So we've been talking about the fact that in 2024, I'm increasing more and more. We're saying that my husband ministered that to us in December, actually. The Spirit spoke that to him. And so we've just kind of been camping on this idea of increase. The fact that what God has for us in our lives, the plan he has for us, the purpose he has for us, everything he's called us to do, there's increase attached to that. And that's why I wanted to sing that song, Whatever It Takes, this morning, because it portrays that. When you are consecrated to do whatever God calls you to do, increase will come.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
God will promote.
That's right.
He'll repay.
Yes.
Repay what? Anything you had to pay to get yourself in the plan of God.
That's right.
Right? Amen. There's been times where doing the will of God and the plan of God has cost us some things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's okay.
Amen.
That's okay.
Amen.
The enemy will try and come, and I've watched people after they've made an investment in the things of God, we'll say it that way. They've stepped out into the plan of God. The enemy will be right there to tell you, "Oh, that was a bad idea."
Yeah.
You just gave that. Maybe you sowed some extra money. Maybe you sowed your time and you didn't get to work as much as you needed to that week because you were sowing your time. Whatever it was, where you sowed to God's kingdom, to his plan, his purpose, at his direction, and the enemy tries to tell you, "You're a fool." And I've watched people back right out of the plan of God, the things of God, because they thought they lost something by trying to step into God's plan.
Wow.
Because they didn't see increase fast enough.
Right.
Wow. They didn't see increase come quick enough.
Wow.
And so they backpedaled to go back to the natural way of doing things. But God's increase always comes. He's always faithful, as we just heard. He's always faithful if we'll stay in his plan and do his will. Praise God.
Amen.
And so increase will come. God will promote. What do we mean by promote? Does that mean that you're going to be the president of the United States? No, he'll promote you in your situation, where whatever you're called to do, he'll promote you, right?
Yes.
He'll repay, he'll reward.
Yes.
To new places you'll go.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Why are you quoting a song? Because we just sang it and it was on my heart, and it aligns. That song aligns with what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you would this morning, you turn there. Let me turn here. I've been meaning to get to this dear brother of ours in Judges chapter 6 for weeks, and I haven't been able to get there. So we're just going there this morning. Judges chapter 6, This is a story, of course, if you know anything about the book of Judges, this was before Israel, the nation, had kings over their nation, right? A king. And so Israel was just kind of left to themselves, so to speak. And the idea, God's idea, was that God was to be king. A novel idea. For a nation called of God to be God's children, right? God's nation. God wanted to be their king. But these people, they couldn't handle that. And so what would happen, because they didn't have somebody they could physically see and lay eyes on, a human being to serve, they would start to stray and serve the gods and the other religions, the pagan religions that were in the nation surrounding them. And so what happened was they'd fall away from the things of God. They'd move away from God's way of doing things. And it would open the door for the enemy to bring enemies. I mean, enemies, enemy nations would come in and oppress the people and cause problems with the people. Why? Because they weren't obeying God.
Right.
They weren't serving God.
Right.
And so this was throughout Judges, you'll see this cycle. And then throughout the kings that they eventually get in 1 and 2 Kings, in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you see this same cycle. They serve God, things go well in the nation, everything's good, hunky-dory, and then that leader, you know, dies out, a new leader comes in who doesn't serve God, and the whole nation, we could preach on that, the whole nation spirals downward. So we're picking up here in a low spot for the nation of Israel, okay? In Judges chapter 6, there's no man to lead the nation at this point. And it says in verse 1, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Midian was a neighboring nation, people. And it says the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. Now I'll remind you, not too many books before, Israel moved into what they was called the Promised Land, where there was good houses and lands. And they were going to move, they moved right into these houses and lands. And they've come so far backward by not serving God that now they're making for themselves dens out of caves.
Wow.
And they're living in the mountains. Not a great place to be. Well, I mean, I like the mountains, of course, but I don't mind living in the mountains, but I want a house or a cabin, perhaps, in the mountains, not a cave. Come on, a cave in the snow in the mountains. No, it doesn't work. So it says in verse 3, for whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey.
Wow.
They would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. My goodness. So you've got the enemy coming in, we could say like a flood, right? Like the word says. I mean, they're just everywhere. The camels, the people, they can't even be counted. They come and they basically take every crop, I mean, they come every harvest season and they take everything that Israel tried to plant. Praise the Lord. It's just better to be in the will of God and serve God,
yes.
Right? than to not serve him. I mean, all you have to do is read a little bit.
Yeah.
Verse 6 says, and Israel was brought very low because of Midian. My goodness, very low. This is God's chosen people. They're supposed to be children of the Holy One. And yet, because of their choices, they've been brought very low.
Yeah.
So they were brought very low, and the people of Israel, well, this is good, cried out for help to the Lord. We were talking about that during the offering. Oh, God, have mercy, right? Yeah. Well, what happens if you find yourself in a very low spot? Just start calling out to God. He's so merciful. He's so merciful. If we've messed up, if we backpedaled, if we come out of the will of God, just realize what you've done. Repent. Call to God. The blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can step right back into the plan of God. Praise God. We can step right back into the blessing of His will. Praise God. We don't have to wait for a moment once we see that we did this to ourselves. Hallelujah. So the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in those in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." God's not mincing words, is he? He's putting it out there. This is why there's oppression in the land. I told you to fear me and me only, and you're fearing the God of the Amorites.
Wow.
What do we mean by fearing? They're serving that God.
Yes.
Not the God.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes we get excited when a prophet comes into the land or into the house, but, you know, he just doesn't always bring the best news. He brings God's news, right? He brings God's report, and this is the report. In other words, guys, until you make a change, there's not much I can do to help you here.
Right.
Wow.
Yep. And then verse 11 says this, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash," that guy, "while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Okay, so we've got Gideon. He's found himself some wheat, and before the Amorites can come and steal it, he harvests a little bit of it, and he takes it to his wine press, not to the regular place to ground out wheat. He takes it to the wine press. Why? Because he's got to hide it, and he's trying to just do a little bit so he can get a little bit of food to eat. And so the angel of the Lord finds Gideon basically hiding out, skulking, trying to do something in hiding, right? And this angel finds him, and it says in verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" I love this story. I don't know. This is great. He's hiding, right? And just trying to get out enough little wheat and you know, get it going so that he can make some food for some bread for his family. And the angel comes in and says, "Hey, how you doing, almighty man? It's awesome. The Lord's with you." And he's thinking, "What are you talking about?" Praise the Lord. Isn't God fun? God is, he's so creative. Verse 13 says, "And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?'" Clearly, Gideon hadn't paid attention to the prophet who had just come to the land. "And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midian." This is so human nature, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
It's not my fault.
All right, if you think I'm a man of valor and the Lord's with me, then why is all this going on? Where's the Lord?
Yeah.
I find it interesting that the prophet had already been there and told him why it was all happening.
Right.
And yet he still, his thinking was, all right, if God's so big, if he's so miraculous, if he really delivered our people like they say he did, then why isn't he helping us now?
Yeah.
But the thing is, God was helping them right there.
Yes.
By calling Gideon a man of valor. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him. Now, this word, the Lord, you can actually translate it, the angel of the Lord, still, or the Lord. So, depending on which translation you read. But regardless, it was a man, a spiritual being, okay? Whoever it was. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? So here we have Gideon. Gideon has this person, and of course he doesn't realize at this point he's a representative of the Lord. And this man comes up to him and says, you're a mighty man of valor, while he's skulking in the corner trying to get his wheat. And Gideon gives him this wisecrack kind of remark. Okay, if the Lord's with us, why is all this happening?
Wow.
Where is this God of miracles? And the angel of the Lord, this person, this man, whomever it is, ignores the question completely that Gideon asks and says, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? Wow, so interesting. We're talking about increase in God, right? How when we serve him and follow his plan, increase always comes. The thing is, increase always involves us. It's not just God's part, it's our part. Our part is doing what God calls us to do. And God's sometimes going to show up and say, hey, mighty man of valor. Hey, man of faith. Hey, woman of God. This is what I have for you to do. And it's going to sound as crazy to us sometimes as this command sounded to Gideon. Go save Israel. Don't I send you? And he's like, okay, that's great. Super cool. Glad to meet you. See you later. God will always look to us and call us what he sees us.
Wow.
We don't always see ourselves that way. I know Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor, or he wouldn't have been hiding to try and crush some wheat.
Right?
Right? And God has to show up in his life and change his thinking. Oh, because if Israel's going to be saved, somebody's going to have to step up to the plate. Somebody's going to have to allow God to use them and empower them and help them. And it says here that Gideon's it. The only thing is, Gideon didn't really understand that. So verse 15, it says, and Gideon said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now, this is one story in the Old Testament of a long line of stories where God calls somebody who doesn't feel adequate.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I mean, what about Moses at the burning bush?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, send anybody but me. You know, how's it gonna, you know, and then, when God calls him, he's like, I don't think it needs to be me. And God says it needs to be you. And then he says, well, I can't talk very well. So he's just coming up with excuse after excuse. So, you know, that puts us in a good spot Meaning, you don't have to feel adequate to be used of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
You just have to believe what God says about you.
Yeah.
Ha! Which is written in the New Testament. Glory to God. What God has said about us. Glory to God. So he says, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? What's he saying? I'm the smallest. I'm part of the weakest. We're the littlest. We have the least. I mean, his thinking, and rightly so, I mean, for years now, they've been ransacked. You know, they've been taken over. Everything that they've tried to produce on their own has been stolen.
Right. Yeah.
And that's exactly it. They were trying to do it on their own. Without God's help. And verse 16, it says, and the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. Here's the difference right here. Now I'm with you. Before, you were doing this on your own.
Wow.
And therefore you were weak and small and unable. But now I'm with you. Glory to God. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Glory to God.
Amen.
So Gideon talks to this gentleman slash angel of the Lord, slash the Lord. And, you know, he actually asks him to stay, receive some food. And by the end of this situation, he realizes, oh, this was the Lord. This was an angel of the Lord. This was a godly being that just came and talked to me. So then Gideon starts to get direction from the Lord about what to do next. And he actually is told to destroy the altar. Thank you. The altar that they have there for the neighbor's god, Baal. That they were all worshiping at. And the Lord deals with them, go destroy it. But Gideon's so afraid that he doesn't go during the day and knock it down. He takes a couple servants with him and goes at night when everyone's asleep.
Yeah.
And he knocks it all down, and people wake up in the morning and say, what happened to our altar?
Yeah.
And somebody's like, Gideon did it. It was Gideon. And it's just so interesting that God worked with a man who really, I mean, he was stepping out, but he was like, okay, well, I'm not so sure about this, but God said, he's called me a mighty man of valor, so I guess here we go. But let's do it at night so we don't get in trouble by anybody, and maybe no one will notice. So God's working with him. That gives me hope, right? That God will work with us. He'll increase us. He'll help us to see what God wants us to see about ourselves.
Yeah.
But notice after all this, and I'm paraphrasing some of this because we don't have time to read it all, but verse 34 of chapter 6, it says this. Well, verse 33, sorry. It says, now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together. This is their usual thing, right? It's been happening for years. They all come together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But this time, verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Praise the Lord. So we see that now all of a sudden there's a shift. When they come this time, Gideon's not thinking of himself as small and weak and going to hide in a cave. Now all of a sudden, God's called him something, a mighty man of valor. And he stepped out and done some things for the Lord. And now when the enemy shows up, he looks to God instead of running and hiding and looking at himself. Now he's looking at God and saying, God, what do you say? You've called me a mighty man of valor. And what's the response from God? He's clothed with God's power and spirit. Glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, made it meaning he's calling the people to come ready for battle. He has God's anointing upon him, and he's stepping out in that anointing. And then we get to a very interesting way to win a battle in chapter 7. It says in verse 1 that Gideon and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And verse 2 says, the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Wow. Well, this is interesting. God called Gideon, told him he's a mighty man of valor. Gideon steps out and is clothed in power. He blows his trumpet. He calls this whole army together. He's pretty impressed with himself. Look at, we got all these people. This is awesome. We're going to go. Yeah, God's with us. Here we're going to win this thing. And God says, not so fast. We're talking about increase. Even in our lives, what does that look like exactly? Well, it's going to look like what God says. Meaning we've got to do it God's way. Yeah. It's not what we think. It's not how many people we can get together. It's not, you know, how big our army is to conquer the enemy.
Right.
It's how is God going to get the most glory? What does God say?
Right.
And God was very aware that the people of Israel were quick to take the glory for themselves, right, and decide to do things their own way. And he said, not so fast, Gideon. You've got too many people. And if I were Gideon, I think I would be having a consult with the Lord and saying, you know, people, like lots of people, are a really good thing when it comes to fighting an enemy that has a lot of people. I mean, just saying, Lord, you know, it would be really good if we could just keep everybody. You clothed me with power. I blew the trumpet. They all came. But God, that was not God's plan for their increase. Why? Because in God's level of increase, God gets the glory.
Right.
Not people.
Amen.
Not people.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
When we get to a next level in God, when God blesses something in our lives, we need to be able to say, that wasn't me. That was God. We need, as was mentioned in the offering, we need the lawyer to look at us at the signing or the selling of a property and say, wow. You're a great businessman. And you can say, not really. It was God.
Yeah. Right?
Right? God's increase. God's increase. Praise the Lord. So verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling. They're about to go to war, right? So this is a pretty good bet that we've got some people that are afraid. Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned, left. Oh, boy. That's a lot of people. And 10,000 remained.
Wow.
So you just lost 2/3 of your army. Because God said. Because God said. And if God says, then we're actually increasing by going from 22,000 to 10,000.
That's true.
It's a different way of thinking than the way the world thinks.
That is true.
Because if God says, get rid of some things.
Yes.
From God's perspective, that's increase.
Yeah.
Because you just stepped into a further place with God's help.
Yeah, amen.
By being in his will.
Amen.
And in his plan. So 22,000 to 10,000 is increase to God. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Oh, come on, God, really? I mean, we lost 2/3. Can we just please keep 10,000? Because, please, there's a lot of people over there. They're right they're all camped right there. And so the Lord says, there are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Wow. I like that. I'll test them for you. And Gideon's probably like, never mind, we don't need that test. I'll test them and say, they're all ready to go. We can do this. And so the people are too many. Take them down the water. I'll test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Now I'll just say, if I got to water, I don't know that I would think to lap like a dog. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. So, I mean, you can figure out which one looked like what. Some people kneel down, right? I've heard different ministers say this differently. You do you. But the point is, God was looking at how people did something a certain way, right? Whether they totally got distracted and looked down at the water and just started drinking, or whether they picked up and kept watching the enemy and lapped and drank like a dog would while they could still look. He was watching how they drank.
Yeah.
He watched how they operated. But the bigger point was, God was decreasing the number to increase God's glory. To increase the possibility of God getting all the glory for the victory. The less human in there, right, in the mix, the more it's obvious it's miraculous. And so sometimes in our lives, we'll have some Gideon moments where God steps in and says, I know you think that's the right way to do it, but I'm going to tell you, instead of investing that, sow it into the kingdom of God.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you, instead of buying the bigger one, buy the little one. Mm-hmm. Little things that might not seem to matter to us, but they're all helping us learn how to increase God's way.
Yeah. Amen.
Do things
Amen.
With his plan and watch his miracle power come in where there's no way to do this except with God's help.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My.
Right.
But the thing is, it doesn't ever feel comfortable on the flesh. Yeah. It doesn't ever feel really easy and fun when God says, you still got too much, give some away.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Get rid of this. Trim this down. So it says in verse 8, so the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand.
Wow.
When it looked to Gideon like they were the least capable of winning the battle, because God had whittled them down so much, that's when God said, now you're ready. Step into what I have for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we won't take the time necessarily to read, but praise the Lord, they won the battle.
They did.
They won the battle. They took trumpets, they took lanterns, they surrounded the valley where the enemy was in. They actually didn't have to fight this battle, guys. That's the most amazing thing. Maybe we should read it. Praise God. So let's see. Verse 19, it says, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him, so there's Gideon took 100. He put different people all around. Said they came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch when they had just set the watch, so middle of the night, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. This is actually quite brilliant. They all have some glass in their hands, so they smashed them. And it says the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place around the camp, meaning they didn't move in to the camp. They just stood there. And all the army ran. They cried out and fled. That's the enemy army. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword in the enemy's camp against his comrade and against all the army, and the army fled as far as Bethshitta toward Zerar, as far as the border of wherever that is by Tabath. And it goes on. They didn't actually have to fight in this battle. That's the most amazing. That's the God part.
Yeah.
God got involved in it, but when they followed the instructions, got rid of the people that were fearful, got rid of the people that didn't drink the correct way, and he got them to the point where there was 300 men who could follow instructions.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Who could follow what the Lord was dealing with them to do. And when they did that and did it the way Gideon told them to do it, God got involved and the enemy destroyed themselves.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
And God got the glory. Praise God. And Israel got their land back, free from pests, so to speak, free from raids and enemies. And Gideon actually helped to restore peace, it says, to the land. Increase came, but it came God's way. Now, what if Gideon had said, you know, God, it sounds fun to get rid of, you know, everybody who's afraid, but I really need them to stay. And he took his 30-some thousand out with him to battle. Well, he would have had to fight in that battle. And we don't know. He might have won. He might have not won. But it would have been all his strength. Right? It would have been all Israel's strength.
Yeah.
And that's not increase to God.
Yeah.
That's not God's way of increase.
Right.
So the good news today, the great news today is we get to follow God's plan every step of the way.
Yes.
And when something seems odd and it looks like decrease.
Wow.
My husband was mentioning the fact that when we moved away from New York, we left everything we had.
Everything.
We actually moved to a place that God called us to move. Thankfully, we didn't have to stay there for too long. But we moved to a place, we moved into a two-bedroom apartment. We threw air mattresses on the floor for our kids and a mattress on the floor for us. It looked like decrease, majorly. But because we were following God's plan, God was able to increase us. He was able to promote us and bless us and help us in the next phases and stages of our ministry that we wouldn't have got to if we didn't let God lead us or follow and obey what God was leading us to do when we left New York. Praise God.
Yep.
Whatever it takes, I'll do it.
Yes.
Whatever it costs,
yes,
I'll pay. Wherever he sends me, that's where I'll go.
Yes.
If it's for you, I'll obey.
Yes.
And increase will come.
Increase will come.
God will promote.
He will.
Yes. He'll repay. He'll reward.
Yes.
To new places we'll go.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
From glory to glory,
amen,
we'll be blessed. Ha!
Yes.
So to the Spirit, say no to the flesh.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you guys don't have that song, you can download it at siegelministries.org. That's one of the 30 songs we have recorded on those albums, but sometimes it's just good to get some of those songs and listen to them over and over and get them in our spirit. Why don't we stand to our feet today? Amen. Father, we're so grateful.
Thank you, Lord.
We're so thankful for the calling you have on our lives.
Yes.
As believers. To reach into your communities, to reach out into this world, to preach your gospel, to lead people to you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be increased in all that you have for us. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and helping us to see where you're calling us to go, what you're calling us to do, how you want us to move into these things. We're grateful for it today. We're thankful for all you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.